As you know, our theme verse is Mark 12:30. We will start in Mark 12:30. I will be reading most of it in ESV, English Standard Version. All right, Mark 12:30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. But it's always great to just read the whole thing, not just one verse. You know, and the whole reading of the context is really important. So I'm going to read it. This is NIV 12:30. Okay, I'll start in 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. So the love that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has for the fathers, it was really strong. It was really apparent in how he lived his life and how he spoke. You know, everything that he did, it was like lined in with God, you know. He made sure of it. It's not that, you know, whatever comes to his mind, like, oh, this is the will of God. No, he lined himself up with the Word of God at every moment. And he lived his life on this earth making sure his connection with the Father was unobstructed. Because, you know, the adversary would try to get in your way. You have to be spiritually aware of this. And he made sure that he was not obstructed by the adversary, thereby being the best model to follow of the highest quality. It's the best of who we need to follow. It is really important for us believers to know how Jesus was while on earth. His prayer life, his believing, everything he did. His relationship with the Father is the blueprint to strive for or strive after. And as we know, a blueprint is a guide for making something. It's a design or pattern that can be followed. So do all of us, do we want to build a better relationship with a Father? We have the blueprint. Follow the design carefully. So let's take a look at Jesus' prayer life. He made it a habit to go pray and would often withdrew into the wilderness for a time of prayer. Let's go to Luke 6:12. And so we're going to be looking at prayer right now. And, you know, there's different level, I guess, of importance when it comes to prayer. Sometimes you got to pray short. Sometimes you got to pray long. You're not going to pray a 2 hour long to say thank you, God, for this food I'm about to eat, right? But there are times that we have to pray long. It's a much needed time with you and your dad, or our dad, our heavenly dad. And here we could see Jesus in Luke 6:12. says here, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued to pray. He continued in prayer to God. And why was he praying this long? So he made a habit praying. So I imagine him praying, you know, short prayer every now and then. But at the times where a longer prayer was important, he did it too. And we can see it here, 6:13. The day after he prayed, he was about to choose his apostles. And that's the reason why he prayed. In 6:13 it says, and when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12 whom he named apostles. So Jesus lived his life prayer, and you know, he was always in that prayer mode whenever needed. Short prayer, long prayer, it doesn't matter. Prayer is really important in our life. Jesus exemplified it. We should follow it. And everything that Jesus did here on earth, it was all important. Some are more significant than others. Jesus realized that selecting his 12 apostles wasn't something that you just willy-nilly do. God was able to let him know who to choose. And we too should be praying regularly. It is a necessity as part of our being. But there are some situations that comes up where prayer is even more required. We need to be aware of the situation. When we keep our focus on God, he will help us to be spiritually aware of the circumstances. So in the time of Jesus here on earth, there was only one of the now two available types of prayer, right? Prayer in understanding and prayer in spirit. Well, Jesus did what was available at the time, and he was doing it. And it never went out of style, right? He did it, and from the moment he learned about it to the moment he laid the rest before he was raised up again, he was always in prayer. Well, what do we have now? So back then, the praying in the Spirit had not been developed, but now has been given to us. So what is our logical move? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:15. 15. So the question was, what is our logical move? What is it then? It says here, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. And to make this be more meaningful, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And again, I'm reading in ESV. So we should be praying in spirit and understanding. That's it. So 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, continually be prayerful. So continually be prayerful in understanding, and continually be prayerful in spirit. Now that we have the other prayer available, we should all be doing it. We should be continually be prayerful in the spirit and continually be prayerful with understanding. If we truly want to love God with our entire heart, which Mark 12:30, if we truly want to love God with our entire heart and our entire soul and with our entire mind and with our entire strength, we will do that. We will do the two prayers. One of the many that I learned was to analyze what I'm about to do at any time. Is it something I would rather do, or is it something that I should do? And Charlie was the one that spoke this to me. You know, something that I should consider in everything that I do. Is it something that I would rather do, or something that I should do? Is it something that's more meaningful, or really just for me? You know, because if it's not really beneficial to the body of Christ, then I don't really think it's that much beneficial to me either. You know, it's a selfish way to live life where I'm just looking out for myself. And I remember one of the things that I did was I used to mess around with my phone. And I spoke about this with my fellowship last time. Android phone lets you do some extra stuff if you know how to do it. You know, I would always research and try to, you know, do some changes. You could change the system. You could change the way it looks. I was like delved in, like, oh, that's cool. That's what I thought was cool at the time. But, you know, did it really benefit anybody else but myself? Or did it even benefit me at all? Because you know what? After doing all that stuff, I broke my phone. Yeah, won't turn on anymore. And this phone that I have now, I didn't do any change to it. I just left it as it is. It works. That's all that needs to happen. I don't need to. I forgot to put this in airplane mode. Sorry. I don't want to mess with the frequency. So I spent many nights staying up to see what changes I could do to the phone. And I was reading a lot of things about it. You know, what's possible, what changes, what other people has done to their phone. I would go to like forums and, you know, people with question and answers and just reading night after night. But how come when it comes to the Word of God, I wasn't like that? You know? How come I was so willing to find out what other people was asking about a phone and not willing to, you know, research what I should be researching for, which is the Word of God? You know, I didn't have that passion. How come I didn't have that passion? So I may have been going to many Bible fellowship, but in the center of it all, I wasn't doing what Mark 12:30 says that I should do, to love God with all your strength, mind, soul, and your, what is it? Heart. The middle of it. Okay. Yeah, I needed to make a better change for the betterment of my life. I need to, you know, like Stephen, he was talking about pruning. Right? As a gardener, you should be pruning stuff that you don't need. And Mike Tracy also spoke of the transformation of your mind. It's not something that we do. All you have to do is renew your mind and let God transform you. You know, if you think of it, if you take a medicine, put it in your mouth, that's all you need to do. You don't go, okay, and put it on this side to make it. No, the medicine will just do what it's supposed to do. You're not making it do anything else. Well, the Word of God is the same. We just take in the Word of God, let the Word of God do the change in you. And I didn't have that passion because I wasn't focusing my life and understanding the Word of God. I wasn't reading much. And man, I do this a lot now because the Word of God is beautiful. The change that I'm now starting to see in my life. You know, God is really... He's truthful to his promise. If you put your focus on him, he will take care of you. He will give you wisdom, understanding. All the things that we really need. And beyond that too, give you riches, like Solomon. You didn't ask for riches. You asked for wisdom and understanding. Okay, I will give you that and riches. You didn't ask for this, but I will give it to you anyways. And I guess this is like a testimony. In the past, I didn't know, like where I work now, I've been working there for 11 years, and I didn't really see, it's like a small department, there's not really a lot of, you know, position you can step onto that is higher than the other. Especially back then when I was starting, I just wanted to do a technician's work. I didn't really, you know, any position step up above that is no longer a technician. You know, you deal with paperwork and phone, and you know, you do other stuff that you're not really inclined to do, or what you're not really thought yourself, you know, doing. So I remember my words in the past, my first or second year working with this company. You know, I think I'm just gonna be stuck in that position. You know, I don't really see myself going to the other position, because it's like there's team lead, there's manager position, and there's the step above manager. I didn't really see myself doing any of that. But you know, I focused my life in understanding the Word of God, and there was a position open. One of the, or actually the manager of where I work, he's going to be going back to Michigan, so he's not going to be in Illinois anymore. And one of the team lead is this month, will be taking over his position as a manager. You know what everybody came to me that told me? Hey man, you're the only one that should be taking that position, that team lead position that just opened up. I wasn't looking for a step up, but as I focused on God's word, that position opened up for me. Even my team leads were saying, yeah, you're the only one pretty much that we, you know, everybody else is just kind of, they're not really up for it, or they're not designed for that. And it was like everybody was just complimenting me, even people that I don't speak with normally. This guy, once in a while, would have like an argument, you know, because he's like a hard-headed, stubborn old man. And he likes to do it his way, so I'd kind of just, you know, let him do his own thing, and, you know, just I'll do my own thing. And I was walking, he was behind me, and he tapped me in the back. He goes, hey, you should go take that position, man. You're the only one that, if you take it, I'll vote for you. And I keep hearing it. I'll vote for you. You're the best candidate. I was like, you know, I got excited for the position. But as the excitement wore down, the excitement for the Word of God is still there. And I was like, you know, God truly does bless you with all you need so you could keep continuing with your, you know, your relationship with Him. He will bless you all you need, so your relationship with God is always taken care of. That's the main thing that He takes care of. You know? He will give you other things. But, you know, that joy that we have with speaking with our Father is, that cannot be expressed in words. You just gotta live it. So let's go to 2 John 1:6. And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. So love here is essentially the unselfish giving of oneself for the benefit of others. It is not what I can get out of that person, but what can I do for that person? Love is shown to be a walking according to his commandments. We cannot truly love unless we are walking in obedience to the Lord and the truth and to the truth of God. And one of the many things that we should do is found in 2 Peter 3:18. And we're going to start in verse 14. 14, therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him. 16, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do to other scriptures. You, therefore, speaking to you right now, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So there's a twofold growth that we should be having. One of the twofold growths that we should be having is grace and knowledge. So grace is this. Grace is the undeserved gift. And growth in grace is not increased in head knowledge or tireless activity. It is increasing likeness to the Lord Jesus. When we show grace to other people, it should be an imitation of God's grace that was shown to us. Now let's look at knowledge. Knowledge means acquaintance with the Lord through the Word. Growth in knowledge means increasing study of and subjection to his words, works, and ways. If and when we walk more like Jesus Christ, which is walking in the Spirit, loving God becomes the center of our life. Loving God is a spiritual journey. And let's go to Colossians 1:9. And before we read this, I'm just grateful for the teachers, those who have taught me. Anybody that I hear teachers, I'm grateful to them. I've heard Stephen, I've heard Tom, Charlie, Mike, I've heard Fred, Jeff, Luz, and also people from my fellowship, Memo. My wife, Delia. I've heard Paco teach, his dad. A lot of teachers. I thank you all. And this is what a great leader does. Colossians 1:9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. A great leader prays, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So God's will is for us to increase in our knowledge of him. In order to obtain that, we must read, study, search his word, which is in the Bible. It would be hard for me to show love to my wife if I didn't know her. And that's one of the things that we've heard today. If you didn't know God, how would you love him? How would I show love towards my wife if I didn't know her? If I didn't know her likes or dislikes, preferences, opinions, feelings, or anything that makes her her. How do I love? I need to get to know her. God knows exactly what should be, how we should worship him. We're not going to worship him the way we feel, the way we think, the way... That's just wasting our time. There's one true way of worshiping him through his word, through getting to know him. So, yeah, it would be hard for anyone to love God if we didn't know his word. Knowing God should be the utmost importance to us. Let us make it our absolute duty and logical obligation to increase in our knowledge of God. Let us love God with the entirety of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God is to have the supreme place in our life. No other love can be allowed to rival love for God. And I'm pretty much done with my teaching, but now I want to speak, you know, a few more words. And I've said this in the camp, in the men's camp. You know, the older generation people, you know, we can grab a lot of knowledge from them. The knowledge that they've got, the rightly divided truth that they've received, that they're now giving to us younger generation, they're a source. So you gotta keep your eyes open, your ears open, and take it. Now for the men in my age group, you know, we need to rise up. Walk like men and women of God. True men and women of God. It's our duty. There's nothing else more important. And now for the younger generation. I'm looking at you. I was once in the mindset where I wasn't even thinking of in the future if I'll be teaching. That never entered my mind. So I pretty much shut myself in the possibility of me teaching. But now I tell you, don't let your mind close to that. Let your mind be open for that. That's my words for you guys. And love you guys. God bless you.